Welcome to Slapshot Podcast, episode number 6, brought to you by The Fantasy Fix. I'm your host, Christopher Morez. Thank you for being here with me tonight. Happy Wednesday. It's Wednesday. I'm recording this on a Wednesday. Happy Thursday if you listen to this on Thursday or Friday or Saturday or Sunday, whatever day you listen to this on. God, I'm happy it's Wednesday. I hope you all had a great start to your week. I hope the rest of your week is just as good. If you've made some money playing DFS early in the week, good for you. If you're like me, if you're getting beat by your girlfriend at lineups, because let's face it, she's much better at building them anyways, you're hoping the end of the week is a lot better. So for those of you who haven't been keeping track, I asked my girlfriend to build a lineup, hoping it would finish last, right? A few of the guys on Twitter, basically what we do is we tried to build the worst lineup and finish last. So I asked her, I was like, hey, Sarah, put this together for me, okay? Put together the worst lineup possible. Guess what? It scored 40 points that night. I think it was Tuesday. No, not Tuesday. Monday. I asked her to do it Monday. And had I plugged it into the monster on FanDuel, it would have finished second. That's how good she was at doing it. She was on point with her player selections. Varlamov that night, Taylor Hall, all players that I was like, oh yeah, they're pretty good, but they may not do it. Brent Burns on it, and the logic behind her picking these players was absolutely phenomenal. Just players with beards, depending on how good looking they are. So I will need to incorporate player beauty into my projections when I'm looking at building lineups, because clearly if you don't look good, you will not put up points, right? That makes sense. Before we start this beautiful podcast, make sure you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Slapshot Podcast. You can find it at The Fantasy Fix as well, www.thefantasyfix.com or at thefantasyfix.com. No, not at The Fantasy Fix. You can, at The Fantasy Fix. There you go. Get it right, Chris. Where else can you find it? iTunes. Right, just go on iTunes, press subscribe to the podcast, give it a rating, tell me how much you love it, how much you hate it, how you listen to it in the car every morning. It helps you get to work without killing people. I love to hear from you guys. You can also follow it on Podbean. That's right, for you Android users, everything is there. No reason for you not to be able to listen to this unless you don't want to. Excellent podcast coming out today. We're going to talk about the Pittsburgh Penguins, okay? We're going to talk about them. I read an interesting article. I'm going to break it down. It involves Phil Kessel. It's lovely. And we're going to start today off by talking about Jonathan Drouin again. Because just before I was going to start recording this, what time is it now? It's 8:45. I was going to start around 7, and then some news broke that Jonathan Drouin was not going to dress for Syracuse. And I was like, oh, here it is. 48 hours later, he's going to be traded somewhere. Where is he going? And then news started to break on Twitter that, hey, guess what? Drouin is not playing because he didn't report to the team. And he's decided he's not going to play for the Syracuse Crunch anymore. And then I was sitting there going, yes, 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 yes. Give me all the content possible. I am going to milk this. I am going to milk this. I'm going to get opinions and I'm going to talk about them now. We talked about Drouin last podcast, but he had been sent down, and I didn't like the reason he was being sent down. I was like, well, you know, what was he going to do, tear up the AHL? You know, that's what I was hoping he would do, right? If you guys listen to that one. Now it looks like it's not going to go well. So if you aren't familiar with this situation because you live under a rock, so Jonathan Drouin decided he's not going to report to Syracuse. His agent, Alan Walsh, released a press about his client. Really simple. He states, I'm just going to go through this really, really quick. He was informed. So the reason Drouin was sent down apparently was two reasons: A, conditioning due to missed games, which, you know, makes sense. Two, to provide that he can that he has completely recovered from his injury. Okay, so, you know, those are pretty good. Go down, get some conditioning, show us you've been okay, and, you know, he has done that, right? He's played 7 games so far as of Wednesday. And then the Tampa Bay Lightning pretty much were saying, hey, we are closing in on a deal, but it's not done yet. Okay, which is true, right? There's been a lot of talk about Montreal, a lot of talk about a lot of other teams, a lot of scouts in attendance. So this is all good. This is right. This is all good for Drouin. And so Alan Walsh was like, hey, I think maybe if we're coming close to a deal, it's best that my client not play to risk injury, right? That makes sense. However, the Tampa Bay Lightning were like, no, we're not on board with that. We kind of want you to play. And so Drouin just decided, well, you know, obviously, right, being advised by his agent, I'm just not going to show up and play, which forced the Tampa Bay Lightning to suspend him without pay, which is logical. So right now, here's what's going on. In a nutshell, you have Drouin doesn't want to play in the AHL. His agent is telling him to not play. The Tampa Bay Lightning are not pleased with this. They've now suspended it. This is the end of their relationship. Boom. That's in a nutshell. So here's where the conversation is going to go. If you talk to a lot of different people, they look at this and they say, Drouin's being a baby. A little, maybe, right? He's not doing this because, you know, he wants to. He's being advised by his agent. That's for sure, right? Alan Walsh is the one who's come out and said, I don't want my client. You know, we want to move our client. Obviously, Drouin has told him and said, hey, I really don't want to be here. But most NHL players, or most players in general, will, you know, no matter where they play, right, whether you send them down to the AHL, whether you, you know, they play in the NHL, KHL, whatever league they play in, players, hockey players want to play hockey. That's the number one thing. So if you're not playing, you've been advised by somebody not to, okay? That's the same thing with, like, contract disputes. You know, players hold out and they're like, I'm not reporting in training camp. Players want to play. They're trying to gain something out of this. They're trying to gain a leverage. Personally, I don't think Drouin has much leverage here because he really hasn't accomplished much in the NHL. However, I do believe that the Tampa Bay Lightning have mishandled this entire situation. I believe Drouin has not done a very good job, and I believe his agent has encouraged him to do this. So where do we go now from this, right? Where do we go now? Drouin is going to be moved. The question now is, how quick is it going to happen? And in my mind, I look at this and I say, this is only going to slow the process down, okay? This is going to slow the process down. Most people are saying, well, this isn't going to do anything to Yzerman. Yzerman is not going to be forced to move him any quicker. True, right? You're not holding a... Nobody's holding a gun to Yzerman's head and saying, hey, you got to move me for whatever I want. No, Yzerman is a really, really smart guy. He's going to get the most out of any player he's going to move. That's for sure. He's going to better his team. He's not just going to trade Drouin away because he doesn't want to play there. You're a hockey player. Your job is to show up and play wherever the hell we tell you to play, right? Basic. But this doesn't look like that's how it's going to go here, okay? Drouin now is saying, I'm not going to play so I don't risk injury. The problem is he's not going to increase his value, okay? This would have been really easy for Drouin to show up in the AHL and completely tear the league apart. If he could tear it apart, which, let's face it, he probably would, you could then, Yzerman, in that case, could then go up to other GMs and say, hey, look, you want this guy? You're going to have to pay a premium for him because, you know, look what he's doing down there. You know, he's really good. You know, we sent him down on the conditioning and, you know, he's conditioning well. He's fully healed and he's tearing up the AHL and he could be on your roster. So hand me over a whole bunch, you know, of good players. There's been some talk, especially with the Montreal Canadiens, you know, that the asking price right now, especially if you're trading inside a division, especially when you're trading to Montreal, is super, super high. Okay, super high. Of course, it's way too much for Bergevin to pay right now. Which, let's face it, it's normal. This only brings the price down now. If I'm, specifically Bergevin, if I'm looking at this, right, I have Yzerman on the phone. I say, hey, look, your guy's not even playing. Okay, he's, you know, why am I going to acquire this kid now who is holding out, who is holding your entire team and, you know, organization hostage with an agent that is encouraging him? Why am I, you know, why am I trading for that, right? You're trading for his potential, right? I stated this in the last podcast. You're trading for his potential, not what he's actually done in the NHL. He's done very, very little. So you're trading a guy who could be one of the best playmakers, you know, in the NHL at one point. That's what you're trading for. That's the hope. If you're a team acquiring him, okay, he's not playing. His value is not going to go up. So you've capped it at whatever your asking price has been right now, whatever that may be. You're not going to get more than that unless you find a team that is so desperate to get their hands on him that they will just give you whatever they want. And no, that's I can't see that being what's going to go on here. I can't see that. I can't see Eisenman calling Bergevin and saying, hey, I need a first-round pick and a roster player and a prospect for this guy. No, it's not going to happen. Like, Bergevin's going to say, well, you're crazy. I'm just going to wait, and then this player's going to sit there. He's not going to play. He's just going to waste away. I mean, he's only 20, right? But he's not going to get better, in which case his development will, you know, be stalled, in which case I'm not giving you exactly what you think he's worth. And then you have a standstill. So this is going to come down to who blinks first. Is Steve Yzerman going to go, fine, I give in. You know, I'll take the best deal available in this time frame. Or will there be a GM somewhere that says, I need this player. I need to make the playoffs. I need to acquire Drouin to help my team. I will give him 20 plus minutes a night. Right? Probably not, right? 15, 17 minutes. I will give you what you want. Those are the two scenarios in my head that I can see happening. And there are a lot of teams that need scoring. So it is more likely that a GM is going to overpay for him. It's inevitable. But I don't think Steve Yzerman is going to get exactly what he wants out of this deal. Exactly. Because he's not playing. Because they, you know, this could have been handled really well, right? This could have been handled really well. You could have told Drouin, go down to the AHL, tear it up. I'm going to do everything possible to get you out of here. I will keep you. I will keep your agent in touch with everything that's going on. And then I will, you know, do everything possible to get you out of Tampa Bay. But all you got to do is go down there and play. You got to show other teams that you are that good. And that you are worth what I'm asking for. If you go down there and play your off, you'll be out of here in no time, right? Is that what you want? You want to get out of here first playing out of Tampa? Fine, go down there, show other teams what you're made of. Boom, done. That's it. That's it. It would have been as simple as that. No, they send him down there and they say, well, it's a conditioning stint. That's what we want to do. Well, you've conditioned him now, right? He is conditioned. He is ready to play. He's played 7 games, I think, in 14, 15 days. About. I think that was his. Let me find that press. Yeah, 7 games, 14 days. Okay. So he's healthy, right? He can play. But he's not back up in the NHL because obviously John Cooper doesn't want him there. So now he's sitting there and he's saying, well, what am I doing here now? Why is my career not moving forward? Like I said, this is an entire messed up situation. Right? This is a really bad, bad ending to a relationship. And I don't think this accelerates the process. I think this goes all the way up to the trade deadline. I can see it happening. This can either get done in 2 days or it's going to drag. There's no middle here. Okay? There's no middle. And I wouldn't be surprised if Drouin turns around and or his agent turns around and says, hey, Drouin, here's what's going to happen. Okay? Go back to Syracuse. Right. Or he's probably staying there. Get back in the lineup, play. Okay. Because right now he's saying, I don't want him to get hurt. Right. Because he's close to a deal. If that turns the other way, and let's say now GMs are saying, well, no. We're not giving you this anymore for him. He's not even playing. Right. If that goes the other way, and the deal is not as close as it was now, then there's a good chance he gets back in the lineup and says, hey, I'm going to play. And, you know, honestly, Drouin should, you know, he should be in the lineup no matter what. You know, he's, like I said, his job is to play. He's a player. He's a hockey player. Get in the lineup and play. Be a professional. Show up. Don't let your teammates down. Don't let, you know, ownership. Don't let your coaches down. Show up. Play. But hockey is a business. So this is the business side of the game. And players will tell you all the same, right? It's the same thing with players who hold out for money, right? When PK Subban was holding out for his massive deal when Bergevin first became GM, you know, people were saying the same thing. Oh, show up and just play, PK. You haven't done anything yet. Just show up and play. And you're like, well, yeah, this is business. This is the business side of sport. This is what it is. And, you know, Alan Walsh feels that he has an edge here. And he's telling his client, this, you know, I advise you to do this because X, Y, Z. And obviously now Steve Yzerman has the ball on his side of the court. And he said, well, I'm just going to suspend you. And, you know, you know, you'll leave when I find the right deal for my team. That's basically what it is. It will be interesting to see how this goes. Now it's confirmed, right? Last podcast I said, well, you know, the best place for him to be is in Tampa Bay. That's not it now, okay? So there's one team he's not going to, and that's the Tampa Bay Lightning. Everybody else becomes part of the play. I think more teams get involved now because they're saying, well, maybe we can get him at a cheaper price, right? Maybe. Maybe. I see maybe some more teams getting in. And I can see also a few teams saying, no, we don't want him, right? Because character is a strong, you know, quality to have. And if you're looking at a 20-year-old right now who has not done much in the NHL, who hasn't really earned his spot, holding out and saying, I'm not reporting to my AHL team, I'm not going to play hockey, that's not a good thing, right? That's not a good thing. He's probably a great kid. He's, you know, he deserves to be playing in the NHL, but that's not what's happening right now. He's in the AHL and he's not playing in it. And he's not reporting to his team. And he's, you know, they gave him money. They gave him a contract and they said, hey, your job is to play. A two-way deal, right? So, you know, NHL, AHL. And he's not fulfilling, you know, his part of the bargain here. So obviously they take away his money. That's, you know, that's the trade-off here. But, I mean, I don't know. He should be playing. That I'm going to say. Drouin should be playing. That's why I know it's his agent who's saying, hey, just sit here. I don't want... That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to, you know, show the public, hey, we just don't want him to get hurt. We don't want anything bad to happen to Drouin. That's what Walsh is saying. I don't want my client to get hurt and then, you know, something go wrong. And if Walsh has said this... Right? Like he has. That he does. He just, like, the only reason he's not playing is because I don't want him to get hurt. To me, that says he has enough knowledge of the situation that there's a trade imminent. That they're within, I guess, 48 hours of getting a deal done. Maybe 3 or 5 days. But they're close. Right? Eisenman has said, hey, we're close. Because if they were, like, I don't know, a week, 14 days away, then I don't think Walsh would have taken this approach and said, no, it's best that you sit here and you wait. No. If they were still far away from getting a deal done, he would want his client to keep going and keep producing and keep showing that he can play. Now, they're telling him, well, wait. Don't play because the deal is coming. Don't risk anything. And then you'll be out of here. But that's not happening, right? This will be interesting to follow. I'm sure we will all be surprised at whatever happens. I don't know where he's going. Like I said, Montreal's had a lot of talk. I don't know if the asking price is right, especially after Montreal got rid of Jared Tenorti to acquire all-star John Scott, right? So you have one defenseman less that you can trade. I don't see them moving another defenseman, right? I love Nathan Beaulieu. I don't think that would be... I wouldn't like it. Right, so I don't see them moving Beaulieu for him, and that's probably going to have to come with another player. Right, most of the players that have been linked to being traded for Jonathan Drouin have been defensemen. So, right, Cody Ceci, Matthew Dumba, a few guys, yeah, that have been mentioned here and there. So it's probably going to be a defenseman and a prospect or a pick, or maybe both. I'm assuming it's a package of something. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes. Like I said, we'll probably all be surprised. What else here? Speaking of surprise, here's something that's surprising. So I was, you know, just wandering the Twitter universe because, I mean, what else do I have to do, right? And I found a lot of, I stumbled on an article, and at first I was like, what is this? I was like, what is this person talking about? And then I read the article, and then I was even more confused about what was going on here. So it talks about Phil Kessel. That's what it does. It talks about Phil Kessel and why the Pittsburgh Penguins should trade Phil Kessel. Yeah, right? So if you're following this, right, Phil Kessel was acquired by the Pittsburgh Penguins over the offseason. They traded some, you know, some up-and-coming players to Toronto. Phil Kessel comes to Pittsburgh. It has not been pretty, to say the least, right? The Pittsburgh Penguins are no better at scoring goals than they were last season. And Phil Kessel is having one of his worst seasons since, I don't know, forever. So Jimmy Rutherford is in a really tough situation here for a lot of reasons, right? So I'm just going to recap it quick. The article basically starts off, you know, with the Pittsburgh Penguins have a problem, and that is money, okay? The Penguins have a ton of salary locked up, okay, to not enough players. $60 million committed next season to 14 players, okay? That's what they have, according to this article. And you have Olimata, who is a restricted free agent, and he's probably going to get a raise. That's for sure. So you need to spend some money in order to keep Olimata and to fill out your roster. But you have so much money locked up in these superstars that are not performing right now that you're in a pickle. You need some money. On top of it, the Penguins, right, earlier in the week, they traded David Perron to Anaheim, and they acquired Carl Hagelin. All right, you know, that's a, you know, it's a fair deal. I look at that deal and I say that's a fair deal to me, okay? Two players who are not doing very well on their teams, right? Perron was brought in to be this, you know, guy who was supposed to complete the top six, and he has not been that guy. Carl Hagelin went to Anaheim, signed a big deal, and he's, I mean, he just hasn't, you know, he hasn't done what he has to. The problem is Carl Hagelin is owed about $4 million for what, the next 2 years? And David Perron is at the end of his deal. So the Pittsburgh Penguins, instead of shedding salary, acquire another player with a $4 million price tag. And, you know, they creep closer to the cap. At first, I scratched my head as well. I said, well, you know, Carl Hagelin is a, you know, a fast guy. He could play in the top six, but he's not exactly a top six player. Not in my mind. I don't look at Carl Hagelin and say, yeah, you're top six, buddy. You, yes, absolutely. So they've committed more money to the cap, and now they're in some position where they got to get rid of somebody. So the article goes on to talk about, well, which one? And then Phil Kessel is a name that's brought up here, okay? Like I said, he was supposed to come into Pittsburgh and score 40, maybe 50 goals. It's not going to happen, okay? Not even close. He's currently on pace for 22 goals, which would be his fewest since 07-08. That's not good, okay? He has one goal in his past 12. Three in his past 21. And he's gone goalless in 26 of his past 30. Not good. Okay. 0.27 goals per game. I mean, that's 0.75 goals per 60. And, I mean, it's just not good. It's not good. Phil Kessel has not been good. And he has a lot of money tied to that deal. And, I mean, so what do you do with Phil Kessel, right? And this article says, well, you trade him. You trade him to a team that needs some goal scoring, which would be an obvious thing to do, right? And there are teams that need goal scoring. Montreal, for example. I mean, they need a winger to score goals. Minnesota has been thrown into that situation about needing some goal scoring. You know, this article names the Anaheim Ducks, and I'm looking at that and I'm going, yeah, right? But there are so many teams that need, you know, goal scoring, especially elite goal scoring in Phil Kessel. The problem is, I cannot see Phil Kessel being the guy traded, right? This article is not poorly written. I advise you to, you know, read it. It's really well. The points are all there. Phil Kessel has struggled. But what are you trading Phil Kessel for, right? If you're the Pittsburgh Penguins, do you just want to dump Phil Kessel 1 year, not even 1 year into his contract with you? Like, is that what you want to do? You want to say we acquired him? He's had a terrible start to this, you know, to his tenureship with the Penguins, and we're just going to get rid of him now. No, you can't, like, you can't do that. You gave up prospects. You gave up picks for this guy. He is supposed to come in here and increase the offense. He is supposed to bring something to this team. And yeah, he has struggled. Okay. No question. But do you give up on him now? And the article basically says, this is, look, you know, maybe Jim Rutherford made a mistake here, but it's better to cut your loss short now before it becomes a problem. And I don't agree with that. Because you're not going to get anything for Phil Kessel. What are you trading for him? Is somebody in the NHL going to give up a first-round pick for Phil Kessel? Right? Because if you're the Pittsburgh Penguins, it means you cannot take salary back, okay? And there has to be a team on the other side saying, I will take his contract, okay? The Pittsburgh Penguins probably don't want to retain any salary in that deal if they move Phil Kessel. That's the goal of getting rid of him, right? Is that all that mass money? So if you're not going to keep salary, it means you're not going to get much in return, right? Even a prospect at best. Secondly, Phil Kessel to me is a problem player, okay? I look at Phil Kessel and I'm like, oh man, he's gone through a ton of coaches. He hasn't won anything. And outside of goal scoring, which he's not doing any of in Pittsburgh, I mean, he's not really anything else, right? He's not, you know, an excellent playmaker, right? No matter what, this season, he is just, you know, he has 15 assists, okay? Of those, 9 of them are primary, but only 4 of them occurred 5-on-5. So he's had a lot of assists, most of them on the power play. That's, you know, that's easy. When you're playing with Crosby, Malkin, and Letang, and I don't know, whoever other forward joins them on that group, you know, whether it's Kunitz or Hornqvist, doesn't matter. When you're passing the puck to those guys, that's pretty good. You're going to get points. Of course you're going to get points. You're going to get assists, no matter what. He's also on pace to land about 250 shots, okay, which is about 3 shots per game, which is down from the 3.75 he averaged during his years with the Leafs. So he's shooting the puck less. He's not scoring goals. And the Pittsburgh Penguins are not a very good team. Yeah, you know, trading Phil Kessel right now would be a great idea. Of course not. Of course not. You're not going to get anything for him. You're not. You're not going to get anything close to what he's worth. So in the best case scenario, you keep Phil Kessel and you hope he figures this out. You hope the entire Pittsburgh Penguins figure this out. But specifically Phil Kessel, right? Evgeny Malkin has had a pretty decent year, right? He's done all right. Sidney Crosby has struggled. He's, you know, picking it up, but he's nowhere near a point per game or more than a point per game like we're used to seeing. Chris Letang cannot stay healthy. Perron is gone. Hornqvist has done nothing. I can barely name you anybody in the bottom 6 outside of Bonino, who I don't think is even playing. Their defense is really not that good, right? I'm not counting on Ian Cole to, you know, keep this defense afloat. Olimata, you know, is their second best defenseman on that team, but they're not a really good team. Outside of Marc-Andre Fleury, who's done pretty well this season, they're just not a very good team. They're not a very good team. And everybody is struggling on that team, including Phil Kessel. So, what are you going to get for him? What? Are you going to trick another team into taking him? You would have to sell, again, you would have to sell what Phil Kessel has already done. Right, the opposite of Drouin. You'd have to sell what he's previously done in other seasons. You say, hey, this is an elite goal scorer. And Phil Kessel can score goals. But he hasn't done that this season. Right? If I'm a GM, I look at him and I say, this is a problem player. I don't think he fits chemistry very well on teams. Because, you know, I don't know why. I don't know why he keeps having, you know, to change coaches every 2 years, basically, right? In his defense, he played in Toronto on terrible teams, so, you know, that's one thing. But if Phil Kessel cannot succeed with Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby, what makes you think he will succeed on another team? And as of right now, you're telling me, well, you know, he succeeded playing next to Tyler Bozak in Toronto. Sure, sure. Hey, Tyler Bozak is the one who, you know, makes Phil Kessel a great player, right? No, that's not it, right? Crosby's not been very good, and by default, neither has any of that team. So, you know, if Crosby was at his usual play, right, if he was tearing up the league that we've seen him done, I'm sure Phil Kessel would be a whole lot better, and we wouldn't be talking about trading Phil Kessel. But that's not what's happening now. So if I'm selling Phil Kessel right now, I have to sell what he's already done. And if I'm buying him, I'm saying, well, you know, does this guy fit my plan? Is this guy really going to help my team get a whole lot better? If he can't succeed with these guys on that team, you know, take Montreal, for example. If he can't succeed with Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, what makes you think he's going to succeed with Thomas Plekanec and David Desharnais? Tell me. I don't think he would. He is not, right? Again, just Montreal in specific. He would not be Michel Therrien's type of guy. This is not a 200-foot player, right? Not important. I know. He's paid to score goals, right? I know. I talked about this last time. But Michel Therrien likes guys who play 200 feet. Good in your own zone, good in the offensive zone, good in the neutral zone. Phil Kessel doesn't do all three of those. He's good in the offensive zone, just not this year. He's, you know, decent in the defensive zone, which is okay. And the neutral zone, he's pretty neutral. So you're acquiring a player that probably doesn't fit into that system very well. So right there, if I'm Mark Bergevin, I'm out of that deal. I'm saying no. Unless the asking price is really, really low, I'm probably not going to acquire Phil Kessel. And as a matter of fact, I don't think Phil Kessel's the guy who should leave that team. If you want to trade somebody, right, to save money and possibly make your team better, Phil Kessel's not the guy you trade. Okay. You don't trade Marc-Andre Fleury because, let's face it, you need a great goalie. Okay. You could try to trade Chris Letang, but he's not healthy. So there's a problem. A lot of teams are going to say, well, he can't stay healthy. I'm not acquiring this player. The only player I see there that I would trade, like that I look and I say, yes, I can see this happening, is Evgeny Malkin. But that would make your team weaker a lot, right? Evgeny Malkin's been the better player. So why do I want to get rid of him, right? A, you'll save the money right there and you'll find a buyer, but you don't make the Pittsburgh Penguins. Jimmy Rutherford doesn't make the Pittsburgh Penguins a better team by doing that. He just sheds salary. And then you would need to find other guys to play down the middle there and make that team better. And I don't think they have that. You can't, you know, can you trade Sidney Crosby? Of course you can. Right? Wayne Gretzky was traded. Are you going to get much for Sidney Crosby? I think his name sells more than his actual production right now. But here's a player who has been very, very, very good for a very long time. Those are the two, you know, those are the guys I would look at trading before I move Phil Kessel. A, they're high money guys. B, you'll actually get something in return for them. You could even, you know, look, you could throw Patrick Hornqvist in there. You're not going to get much. Again, this is, you know, I think he's benefited from Crosby in the same way Chris Kunitz went to the, you know, Olympics because of Crosby, right? Kunitz, another guy. You're not going to get anything from him. So if you want to move players, right, who are, you know, less, I don't think less is the word. If you want to move players who are not as big a name as Crosby and Malkin, you probably look at the wingers, guys like Hornqvist, you know, Kunitz, you know, Kessel, and you say, well, which one of those three has the highest salary and which one could I possibly get the most for? And you say, well, it's Phil Kessel, but none of those three players are actually worth anything. Or to me, in that case, they're not worth what their actual, you know, potential is. They're performing below their potential, therefore you're going to get something below their actual market value. And if you're not going to get market value for them, you might as well hold them and hope they play better and hope the Pittsburgh Penguins start to play better, and then you can move them at a higher, you know, at a higher return. If Sidney Crosby starts producing more, pretty sure Chris Kunitz will start producing more as well. In which case, you could probably move Chris Kunitz. But if you really want to end this problem and you really want to save money, you're going to move one of those two down the middle, Crosby or Ovechkin. Crosby or Malkin. And in my head, you move Malkin. But I wouldn't blame the Pittsburgh Penguins if they move Sidney Crosby. But I would look at them crooked and go, what are you doing if they, you know, move Phil Kessel and get nothing in return? A la the Boston Bruins when they moved Joe Thornton back in the time. They got, what, Wayne Primo? Marco Sturm? Really? I don't even know who else came with that deal. But they got absolutely nothing. All those players that Boston acquired don't play for them anymore. And Joe Thornton's still playing in the NHL. So, yeah, again, two different deals. I'm aware of that. But you need to get something back for players. And you won't get much for them if they're struggling, right? That's the number one thing. You're not going to get much for them. You're going to get them at a discount. That's what other GMs are looking for. They're looking for a discount on certain players. They'll say, hey, I'll take him. But I'm not going to pay this price, especially if you're not keeping any of his salary. If I have to hold on, especially if this is a team that is in a position to make the playoffs. Because let's face it, that's if you're acquiring Phil Kessel, you have hopes of making the playoffs. And if you have hopes of making the playoffs, you're probably spending, you know, upwards, you know, $70 million around the cap. And if you can't fit him under there, then you need the, you know, Pittsburgh Penguins to retain some salary. And I don't see them willing to do that, especially in their situation with the cap. Saying, yeah, hey, I'll get rid of Phil Kessel, but I'll hold, I don't know, $4 million or $3, $4 million of his contract. No. That's, you know, that's not what they want to do. They want to clear that all off the books. And it may not happen. So, what is Jimmy Rutherford's best move here? Wait. The Pittsburgh Penguins are not a bad hockey team. They are just not playing well. I didn't have them as a playoff team, okay? Back, I wrote about them over the summer, and I said the Pittsburgh Penguins are a playoff team. But I had the Pittsburgh Penguins not being a playoff team because I didn't think they would be able to keep the puck out of their net. As a matter of fact, they've done all right at doing that. They're a league average team. Marc-Andre Fleury has done his job, and that defense has done their job. To a certain extent, they've played well. This is a team offensively that's done nothing. Their top six is not doing anything. And they have no bottom six. Like I said, I can't name you anybody outside of Bonino on that team. I can't. I would have to look at their roster. And I play DFS almost daily. But I don't ever play the Penguins because I'm looking at them and I'm saying, well, why? They're a below average scoring team. They barely score goals. I mean, they're not Anaheim-like, but they're, you know, they're nowhere near what they should be. Nowhere. So, you know, what do you do when a whole bunch of players are underperforming? They fired their coach. Right? So you made a coaching change. And they're still not playing well. To me, they're still not playing well. They're not a playoff team. And if you move Phil Kessel, you're not improving your team. Which means you become a seller. This team should be better. Like, I don't know what else the Pittsburgh Penguins could add to that team that would make them better. All they could add is bottom six help. Which, you know what, maybe makes them a better team. Maybe they need more guys down there, you know, bottom six, filling roles, checking hard, going to the corners, putting some pucks in the net. But are you going to trade Phil Kessel for that? Are you going to trade Phil Kessel for a bottom six guy? I mean, no. Jimmy Rutherford's not going to do that. If I'm an opposing GM, I'm like, hey, what bottom six guy do you want? Which one? Pick one. This one? Do you want this one? Okay. Are you going to eat some salary? No? Okay, no, I'm not doing the deal. That's what it's going to be. if you feel the need to get rid of a player of Kessel's status, you need to get something back that's going to help your team immediately get better. Right? Some people think that the Pittsburgh Penguins are in a win now mode, right? They need to win now. I somewhat agree with that, but I don't actually think they have to. Because I look at this team and I say they're nowhere near winning now. Nowhere near. So I don't think Jimmy Rutherford has to go out and acquire a whole bunch of anything to make his team better. And I don't think he can. I think he got Carl Hagelin. And even that trade, I'm looking at him going, man, stop taking salary, Jimmy. Stop. You can't fit it in anymore. It's like, you know, you order too much food at the restaurant, but you don't want to take it home. So you just keep eating. And then at one point, you're like borderline nausea, or you're like, I'm going to throw up, but I paid for this food and I don't want to bring it home. So I'm just going to keep shoving it in my mouth. And I'm just going to keep feeling sick. And Jimmy Rutherford is just, you know, acquiring players, right? Acquires Carl Hagelin and says, I can't take on any more salary, but I'm going to take him anyways. And I'm going to try and live with this deal. And now I'm looking at it and saying, well, he's shoving more money, you know, into a team that can't hold any more money. This is a team that cannot take more salary. They need to unload salary, if anything. And they're doing the opposite. I don't see Phil Kessel being moved. I don't see any of their top players in Pittsburgh being moved. If they don't make the playoffs, they're going to chalk it up as a bad season. That's what they're going to chalk it up as. They're going to chalk it up as we didn't get the job done. Changes will obviously come. Probably more help in the bottom six. If anything, if one of those top players go, it's in the offseason. Right? It's not the trade deadline. Big deals like that don't get done at the trade deadline. Rentals will get done at the trade deadline. But not guys like Gino and Crosby who have $9 million committed to them. That deal's not getting done at the trade deadline. No way. Does Jimmy Rutherford get fired? Probably not. I think Mario and his team, I think they give him more time to figure this out. But if you're in a win-now situation, which apparently some people think the Pittsburgh Penguins are in, you can't wait to see if they figure it out. You can't wait and see. Maybe Crosby's on the decline. Who knows? I don't think so. I don't think he's on the decline anywhere near. I think he's got a ton of hockey. He's too good to be declining now. But maybe if he starts to, you know, go down a little bit like this, maybe he becomes expendable. Maybe the Pittsburgh Penguins actually entertain the idea of trading him. Who knows? Evgeny Malkin plays much better when Crosby's not there, apparently. So, but the Pittsburgh Penguins, I mean, they're a better team with both those players on that team. But they both need to contribute at a high, high level. And right now, you know, that's not happening. And they need the rest of those wingers on that team in the top six to contribute as well. Like, Patrick Hornqvist has done nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Chris Kunitz has done nothing. I can't fault Letang because he's hurt. So, you know, what do you do in that situation? I don't know what they do. This article, like I said, head over to Sports Illustrated. Scroll down a bit. If you want, just Google it. You'll find it. It was a great article. I liked it. They made some great points about, you know, Phil Kessel having a down season. I'm not exactly on board with trading him because, like I said, you're not going to get anything. Hold on to Phil Kessel. See if he turns it around. See if the Pittsburgh Penguins turn it around. If they start, you know, putting the puck in the net, scoring some goals, maybe winning some games, getting back into playoff contention. And maybe, hey, maybe if they make the playoffs, everybody will forget about it. You make the playoffs, right? That's what some teams do. Our goal is to make the playoffs. Your goal should be to win. Every team says that, right? We'll make the playoffs first. No, your goal is to win the Stanley Cup, right? Okay. Making the playoffs is your consolation prize thing. Hey, we were part of the 50 teams that made it. You know, 50% of the teams, a little less, you know, made the playoffs. That's, you know, that's not what I want here. That's, you know, that's not a good consolation prize to me. All right, hey, well, you know, we made the playoffs and then, you know, we lost in four in the first round. No, that's not better. It means you couldn't compete. You couldn't compete with the best teams in the NHL, which means you are not one of the best teams in the NHL, which means you need to be better. But you know, maybe in Pittsburgh right now, all they need to do is make the playoffs. But that's not a win-now team then. So I don't know where they are with this. It'll be interesting to see. It was a good article. I liked it. I don't agree with it. I think maybe they should move Malkin. But that's not an easy thing to do either. But we'll see, right? Just like this Jonathan Drouin, we'll see. We'll see how all this goes out. Yep, that is it for this week. Once again, thank you all for listening. You guys really make this amazing. You know, I enjoy doing this. I will continue to do this. Make sure, like I said, check out the podcast on Twitter at Slapshot Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at FuzzyCurse91. The podcast will be up at The Fantasy Fix, so check them out at The Fantasy Fix or www.thefantasyfix.com. It's on iTunes. Subscribe to the podcast so you can hear it every time it comes out. Get it uploaded straight to your iPhone, iPad, Mac, wherever you want. And Android users, you guys are not forgotten. Podbean, download the app. You can get the podcast there. Thank you so much for this again. I will be here again next week. Thank you.